Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12, if you would, please. We need to fine-tune this chapter a little bit. When scribes sometimes do work, sometimes we have to do a little correcting. Revelation chapter 1, I'm sorry, chapter 12, verse 1. I had a good steak at lunch. This really made me think of oneness. It did. Okay, chapter 12, verse 1. Let's go with it. And there appeared, they did what? There appeared a bright, I don't want you to read over that, not a little, not part way, a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, we've always known that this was Mother Israel. But, you see, there's one word there that's mistranslated. You have the Greek word phemion, which is spelled S-E-M-E-I-O-N. It's always translated sign, not treas, T-R-E-A-S, which is wonder. Okay. So, well, what difference does that make? Because this is not a great wonder, it's a great sign. And a sign signifies something. A sign is the way the Holy Spirit communicates with us, letting us know what we are to take literal and what we're not to take literal. Okay. So it's extremely important that we pick up on that. Again, I will say it. The word in the manuscripts is phanion. It cannot be translated wonder. It's translated sign. And that sign is so ever, ever important. It has a great deal to do with the conflict between God and Satan. And this isn't the first time that this... again, I want you to know it's a great, not just a little thing, a great sign. And it's not the first time it happened. It happened once before. Now I want you to go, we're going to chase you around some today. How sharp are you? Okay. I know you're sharp. Okay. Genesis, how many of you know that's the first book in the Bible? And we're going to go to verse 37. Genesis 37. What were those 12 stars in that woman's crown? Well, there were 12 children for Mother Israel that made up the 12 tribes. And there was one son called Joseph. Joseph was kind of one of the favorites of Jacob. Made him a nice, pretty little coat of many colors, which, and he was the next to the last son being born. Reuben was the elder. And here we got this little dude running around, which they thought was a jerk, with this coat of many colors, which means he inherits everything. And that made him angry at him. But you see, you got to pay attention to God when God is into something. Joseph was always successful. Do you think it was because he was the brightest star in heaven or the sharpest knife in the drawer? No. Anytime you read about Joseph, it states God was with him. If God is with you, even you can be sharp. Okay? And that's something, isn't it? But I'm jesting, all right? Jesting. But he had a dream, okay? And this dream in itself is a sign. And when we pick up on Joseph's dream, let's go there with the first one. Let's pick it up with verse 9 of chapter 37, the book of Genesis. And he dreamed yet, let's go back to the first one. And Joseph, verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. They hated him yet the more. Why would they? Well, listen to it. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. That means we were gathering grain and wrapping them into bundles. Okay? You Texas people know what bundles are. Okay? And lo, my sheaf arose, my bundle, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Now think about it a minute. As time will go on, God gave this dream sign. Because there's a famine coming. Joseph's brothers are going to sell. They're not going to murder him like kind of some of them wanted to, because Reuben the elder said, no. Let's sell him. So they sold him into captivity, and off he goes. And he goes right into Egypt. And there he did quite well. Why? Because God was with him. But his sheep would stand up because he would make Pharaoh rich and have plenty during the famine. But here would come his brothers. And their sheaves wouldn't only, they didn't only pay obeisance. They didn't have any. They were starving. And that was the, and they did, they bowed and scraped to him because he was about to take Benjamin. This isn't the important part for this story, because it's the next dream that he had. It's important. But anyway, Joseph always was pure. He did not lie with Potiphar's wife because God was with him. He was honest, trustworthy. That's why God could use him. That's why God was with him. It's because he was honest. He was pure. And naturally, he always succeeded. So let's go on with his next dream, verse 8. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dream and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. Now, do you remember that first verse of Revelation 12? Listen carefully. He dreamed another dream and told his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Now, as long as they're just 11, there's 12 stars in the zodiac. Joseph made the 12th. And what was Joseph a type of? I just told you about them starving, and he saved them. Savior. So, when you look to the heavens, even without the scripture, when you look to the heavens, to that 12 stars, the zodiac, you that are not familiar with this, your companion Bibles in Appendix 12 will fill you in, okay? But there in that sign, you have Virgo, which is a Latin word that means what? Virgin. And also, you've got another star that's in the Latin is Dracus. And in the Latin, that means dragon or serpent. In the arms of this virgin is a branch. This branch that comes forth, and of course that branch is none other than Christ himself, and that old dragon is waiting there in the heavens to grab that branch. That's why he calls this a sign that you can't miss. Okay, that's great. Did he say, help me remember, did he say that this sign was on earth? No. He said, it's a great sign in the heavens. Look up and see the sign. And know that great conflict, that Draco, is wanting to grab that Christ child. Why? First, prophecy in the Word of God, rightly dividing it. What does it say? First prophecy ever written by God in this Bible is in the same book, Genesis 3:15. You don't have to turn there. I'll quote it for you. I will put, this is God speaking to the serpent, Draco. I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed, and you shall bruise his heel, and he was nailed to the cross, but he's going to crack your head. Well, naturally, Satan doesn't want that to happen. So Satan does everything he can to prevent that. Go with me to the 19th Psalm. You are not to worship the stars. You are not to worship the sun nor the moon. But when God places a sign for you to read, then read it. There's nothing wrong with signs that many of you got here to this geographical location by reading signs. Okay? Telling you where to go. So that's why you want to read God's signs. He didn't say this was a little sign. He said it's a great sign. It's one you need to pay attention to. It's no wonder it is a sign. Don't ever let anyone... You can document that and prove it right for yourself simply by taking your Strong's Concordance and reading. It is not Torres. Signs and wonders are many times used simultaneously or together. And when they are used together, guess what sign is? It's semion. And wonder is Torres. But why? Who changed this in Revelation 12:1? Goes back to the great conflict. Psalms 19. The heavens, the what? This great sign, the heavens, declare the glory of God. Have you ever looked up there? You ever thought about it? You familiar with the zodiac? I mean, the 12 stars? Zodiac. Okay. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. He puts it together. He knows what he's doing. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Have you ever looked up there? The knowledge of that sign in heaven is always there, and it's shared with everybody. This is why in Romans 1 it says, not even the Christians only, but anybody that looks up and knows the Scripture uncontaminated can read it in the heavens. The dragon still wants, that old snake, the serpent still wants to grab the branch. Otherwise, he's going to die. And he knows it. That's how serious it is, and that's where you come into this, okay? But there is wisdom and there is knowledge there. We're talking about the heavens when you look up. That's where this sign was. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Every nation sees them. They know that they're there. They marvel at them. It is true that mythology has twisted a lot, but not for scholars of God's Word. Their line is gone out through all the earth. How much? All the earth. And their words to the end of the world. That's to say their teaching. That sign teaches. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. In other words, the zodiac itself is the tabernacle for the sun, and she goes around and around and around. Have you ever heard of the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, that's kind of why we're here. Because this tabernacle for the sun is important. It was that great sign that God said, tweak your mind, set your compass, and listen to me. It's always teaching, and it's always there. It is simple, and it never changes. It's the conflict between Satan and Mother Israel. Period. The greatest conflict there has ever been. And that son that would come forth. Okay, verse 5. Which is as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Who's that referring to? The sun comes out of there strong, ready to go, makes that circuit, okay? Giving life, okay? Like I said, you do not worship stars, nor do you worship. It's only a sign that signifies, points, or indicates the way, the truth. Which is, we got that, 6. His going forth is from the end of heaven, that is to say, from one end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, from one end to the other. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof, nothing in between. It's the truth all the way around, the same story, the same great sign that is always there. What does that document to you? God never changes. And God certainly is in control. He controls the very heavens themselves. And then would some wimp say, but can you help me? Well, who are you? If you're not a believer, you're nothing. When you see the majesty of our Father and His creation, and to know He has guaranteed you a way, a path, that that branch came forth scripturally from that virgin. She conceived and bare that son. He paid that price as we were covering this morning. But here we have this tabernacle, which is not only on earth, but in the heavens also. You see, our Father is not limited. Did you know that? I'll say it again. Our Father is not limited. Now, the interesting thing, we've been talking about the heavens up to this verse. Guess what we're going to switch to now? The Word of God. Okay. The Scripture. 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, restoring it. The testimony or the witness of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You can be simple, but if you look around at the signs and study the Word, He'll make you wise. He'll let you. What is wisdom? Wisdom is understanding the simplicity in which Christ taught, bringing salvation to the world. It's fantastic. And guess what? You're a part of it. And as you read those signs that He placed there long, long ago, man tries to change it. They make religions out of it. They read horoscopes by it. It doesn't change the fact that the dragon wants the man-child. So therefore, he persecutes the woman, and you're a part of that family. You're going to get persecuted if you don't know the truth, and if you don't stand up and act like a child of God and take on the power and the authority that God has given you. The statutes, that's to say the Word, the precepts of the Lord are right. They're never wrong. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It gives you eyes to see. Eyes that you can discern the truth from fiction. That you understand and know when someone tries to deceive you, because deceivers are coming, friend. They're in the world, as you well know. And the deception grows to a point that it's difficult for the unlearned to kind of wonder. Maybe that's why this word sign was translated wonder. They wonder too much. They wonder from one camp to another. And they wonder why they're never blessed. Because they don't know the signs. They don't know the Word that brings forth the wisdom, the comfort, the truth, the blessings. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. How long? You don't have to worry about it. Forever. Both in this world and the one to come and the one that was. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. There is no room for doubt. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. the very drippings from the honeycomb could not have matched the love of God as He lets the sign come down upon you, guiding you, directing you, keeping you off the rocks of wreck in this world. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. The Scriptures will always warn you when you're about to go wrong. And discernment itself will tell you, whoa, halt. Not going there, that's a bunch of malarkey. Won't have anything to do with it. The Word of God has taught me better than that. You see, you and God make a majority. You don't need all the people of the world to agree with you. You only need to agree with our Heavenly Father and claim the right and the power that He has given you in this Word. There's no unrighteousness in it. It's all fair, equitable, and He promises you reward. Do you know why Joseph, in following the signs, was blessed? Because God was with him. If God is with you, who can be against you? There's no other power that is supreme over our Heavenly Father's, and He gives you that power. Fantastic. If, you know, there's always conditions if you believe. Okay. But that's how you know faults, and that's how you know to stay out of trouble. 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. In other words, lack of discernment can get you in big trouble. And lack of discernment comes from ignorance of God's Word. Solidity in His Word, that is to say, forming truth upon truth, precept upon precept, line upon line, gives you the authority and the power and the wisdom to be able to properly discern. Otherwise, guess who's going to eat your supper? Okay? Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Translate that, men. Okay? Scratch the word sin. You notice it's in italics. They added it. It's men. Keep me from presumptuous or arrogant men. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. That's to say, the great apostasy. You're going to be innocent from it. It's coming. It's at the door. The great apostasy. Quite frankly, let me give you a shortcut. That's what the sign is about. It's preventing you from being persuaded into the apostasy. What does that? God's Word. God's signs. All of it. From top to bottom. Heaven to earth. 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Do you know what this word strength is in the Hebrew? It's rock. It means rock. He is your rock. He's immovable. You can count on Him. You can lean on Him. He will never let you down. That's why it's so important that you read His sign, that you understand His sign. Now, inasmuch as we have covered that, let, if we may, return to that 12th chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12, let's take verse 2. And she, this is the woman that had the sun and the 12 stars. That's Mother Israel of the 12 sons of Jacob, being symbolic, the sign being the zodiac, the 12 groups. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there you can see Virgo with the branch and the old serpent just waiting. Just ready. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great dragon, Draco, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his horns, earthly dominion, heavenly dominion, allowed by God for those that give it to him. What do you give him? What do you give Satan? How much room do you give Satan? Well, my wife and I argue sometimes over how the toothpaste is open, and we really get in a knockdown drag out over it. Oh, you do. Who do you think causes it over a dumb tube of toothpaste? Satan. He said, look at God's little darlings. Ooh, there's something. They love God so much, and they know Christ died for them, and look at them. They're fighting over a tube of toothpaste. Boy, have I got it made, he says. You get him out of your home. You give him no quarter. He's not only after you, he's after your brethren, and he's after the Lord Jesus Christ, because he knows the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bust his head. And that's the only way he can survive. But then many might say, well, why doesn't he just give up? Because the whole world worships him. The whole world is going to whore after him, wonder after him. It's written. It's in the scripture. That gives him a little bit of comfort within his own mind. They can't hit it. They're them. They think I'm Jesus. There's some of us know this sign, though. There's some of us that know better. And you're going to make a difference until you begin to understand why God loves you so much. Because you do know the difference. You do know how to handle Satan. He gave you power over him. Don't put up with him in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? So there he waits. Waits in the wings. Waits for that woman. And do you think he's going to give up? Have you ever read Genesis chapter 6? Don't turn to these places. You can make a note and do it later if you like. Sons and daughters were absolutely put out of business, all but one family, because they'd intermixed with fallen angels from Satan, because he was trying to prevent the child coming forth. But thank God there was one man that had a perfect generation, pedigree, Noah and all his kids and their wives. God saved them. Exodus 1. Pharaoh is going to kill every male child of Israel to prevent Satan working him to prevent the branch from coming forth. But one Hebrew woman placed a child in a basket and pushed him out into the Nile, trusting God. And that baby washed down the Nile and ended up in Pharaoh's camp. Pharaoh's daughter, bathing, sees the basket. The baby's crying. She opened it and peeked, and a tear, big tear, rolls forth, and that tear melted her heart. Compassion came upon her, and she saved that child. His name is Moses. Moses, what does it mean in the Hebrew tongue? Drawn from the water. And you will read in, I believe, chapter 3, where that baby's tear saved the day, you know. God is able, okay? You got to trust him. You got to love him, because he uses nature itself. Bethlehem came along. Jesus is born. The branch came forth. What does Herod do at Satan's beckoning? Orders every child under 2 years old to be slaughtered in Bethlehem. Do you think Herod did that? No, it was Satan. He wanted to prevent the branch coming forth. He never gives up. It's the greatest controversy there has ever been, is that serpent after that woman, Mother Israel. And I guess God wanted you to know that when you look up the heavens and you see and you understand that Orion and others, we got the victory. Satan hadn't got a prayer. When you listen to God's word, you might say, well, how's that? Well, he gave you, little old you, gave you power over him, over all your enemies. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. He's got you in it. Okay. Rightly divide the scripture. Show yourself approved. You've got the power. Satan continues. Do you begin to understand why a great wonder in heaven doesn't work? Great semion, great sign, indicating God letting us know that it is not literal. I mean, the stars in heaven are not Mother Israel. She's here on earth at this time. And Satan wants to grab, but there's the sign. God going to that degree that you have that signifies that work of Satan, the old dragon, as he continues on. Many might say, well, I don't quite understand that. Well, just for the sake of those that might be just hearing it on, go to Psalms 147 for me. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time there. Psalms 147. That's just about the middle of the Bible. If you crack your Bible right wide open down the middle, you'll end up pretty close to it. Me will be over in Isaiah a little bit. But Psalms 147, we're going to just cover two verses. Because I want you to think about this. And I want you to think about it real good. Verse 4 of Psalms 147. He telleth the number of the stars. He counts them. He calleth them all by their names. He named them. These stars are symbolic. They are signs of his children. He knows each of you. Why? Because he loves you. You're important to him. And he wants you to return that love, to be with him. One more verse. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. It goes beyond reach. Just, it's difficult for man to understand. But there he placed the signs for us. He named each of them, so that you could follow, and so that you could share that wisdom, that understanding, and that knowledge. Why? To start some cult? No, to love him and follow him. To not be tricked by the great controversy called the apostasy. Why? He wants his election to stand against when the whole world whores after Antichrist. He wants his election to stand against him. That is paramount, and that is what we must do. That baby's tear is Exodus chapter 2, verse 6, if you want to make a note. A baby's tear changed the course of history. And Pharaoh's daughter gave him a loud life. How precious it is. Okay, so we return then to chapter 12, the great book of Revelation. And we're going to pick it up with verse 5. Then verse 5 reads, and she brought forth a man-child. Woman did, we know that. Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God. Into his throne. We know he was crucified. We know that was part of God's plan. Psalms 22 documents it. Verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. Have you ever wondered what that wilderness was? Great wilderness described even in Ezekiel 20. And what did, do you understand what this ground right here 200 years ago looked like? It's a wilderness. And it turned into the greatest superpower of superpowers of the end times. That wilderness that she fled to. Mother Israel is who I'm talking about. There's no accident in God's working. And here she is. The superpower of superpowers that does what is right as best as she can to maintain that truth and that is righteous. And she is protected here. That's the guarantee of freedom of religion. Freedom to even broadcast to the world. Right here in this wilderness. She is protected until what? Until the great war consummates. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. I mean, where was that battle? Not here on earth, friend. Don't look for it. It's in heaven. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. He's tossed out. Why? The great apostasy. It's written. The sign is there. It's going to happen. You can count on it. The question is, where are you going to be? And what are you going to be doing? The old dragon is cast out, and so it is. And cast out here on earth. Were we warned about this in another place? No. Have you ever read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? I'm just showing you some signs that'll just reach out and grab you right in the face if you're not careful. Okay? Wake you up. You're all familiar with the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. I don't even have to read it to you. You know it's our gathering back to Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody deceive you. It is not going to happen until after the son of perdition, which is to say the old dragon, Dracus, the devil, the serpent, whatever name you want to go by, stands in the holy place claiming to be God. It states right here it's going to happen. But do you know what it says in verse 9 of that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Well, let's read it with 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, that means his word, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs. Underline that in your mind. Do not read over that. Signs. And lying wonders. There you have the opposite side of it. What's the word? Semion and Teres. But in the negative, can you be deceived? You're warned there. Did we not read in Psalms 19, the scriptures forewarn you, whereby you are not deceived, whereby you are not misled? That's what this chapter is about. Have you ever read Mark chapter 13? I can even go on and on and say Matthew 24. Mark 13. And we read in verse 21 where Jesus himself teaches, hey, you're going to be delivered up before the Antichrist. You're not to premeditate what you'll say before him, but you're just do the sign, the wonder, the miracle of allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you. Listen to it. Verse 21 of Mark 13. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he's there, believe him not. You know better. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. I don't know, can you be had? I mean, when we get into signs and wonders, my friend, you want to be very careful. That's God knocking on your door. Don't be deceived. And never let anyone confuse in your mind Simeon and Peres. If God warns you there's a sign, He's telling you this isn't literal, but you better shape up. You better understand. And so it is here when you're delivered up. There's going to be miracles. Satan's going to claim to be Jesus, as you all well know. It's one of the signs. It happened long ago. It's Virgo and Dracus. The sign is placed there so you don't forget, to keep you warned. And yet on and on we could go through the scripture in signs and wonders. There's yet another that I can't help going there. Acts chapter 2. Do you remember what happened on that day? It's called Pentecost Day. And do you know what happened on Pentecost Day? There was a wonder there and a sign. Do you know what that sign was? It was the Holy Spirit speaking through man. And we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In other words, you had the signs there. And it shall come to pass, not maybe, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Just like Joseph. But listen carefully. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. And they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders. That's true love. In heaven above, you ever look up? And signs, Simeon, signs that indicate in the earth beneath blood and fire and vapor of smoke. One of those signs was the fact that those people could speak in every language of the world all at one time. It's called the Pentecostal tongue. Not a bunch of gibberish. And I'm not saying that to offend anyone. I'm a teacher of truth. But the word poured forth, whatever ear heard it, right to the dialect of where they were born, the evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit in man. To bring that truth forth, that sign, it's going to come again. That was only a prophecy of the day it would actually come to pass. It comes to pass as we were reading in Mark 13 and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. That's a sign, not a little sign, a great sign, both from heaven and earth. Well, how do I know those signs on earth? By staying awake, by listening to what's happening in the world. You know, as you apply current events to prophecy and the signs of heaven, we're coming into that place where you don't want to go to sleep on watch because you're a watchman. And watchmen do watch. I mentioned Christ. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. This is the teachings of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What did He see? What was the sign? Verse 18 of Luke chapter 10. And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's a sign. That's the words of Jesus Christ. Do you think that he was just wasting words? No. He was telling you that serpent is going to fall to this earth. It is going to happen, beloved, and the signs are all ever so strong. As they talk about chatter on the internet, religious chatter is such that you can count on it. You're coming up to the gate. You're coming up to that time. And again, as a watchman, it's sure not a time to be asleep. How fantastic our Father's word. And returning to chapter 12 of the great book of Revelation, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, where was this voice from heaven? Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Are you going to get your part of that power? You should. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Do you understand that he does that? Every time you mess up, claiming to be one of God's elect, there's old secret. Gee, God, did you see what your pretty person did? Look at them. Don't they do you proud? Don't give him that advantage, okay? Don't give him the time of day. He doesn't deserve it. Okay? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. How? There's only one way, the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Satan's the death. We're not afraid to face him. Why? We got power over him. Do you know something? He knows it. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And so it is that flood comes in. Turn with me, if you would. Hold your place there, but turn with me to Jeremiah 46. Jeremiah chapter 46. Do you sleep good at night? How much do you trust the Father? Been hearing some bad news lately? Television makes you nervous? War got you excited? You ever thought about checking it out with God? Jeremiah 46, verse, let's see. Let's pick it up with verse 7. Who is this that cometh up as a flood? Whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up and will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. And certain religions claim they're going to do that. I don't have to even say it out loud to you. You know what religion I'm talking about. What? You might say, well, then what are you talking about? Egypt, for one. Let's drill in some more. 9. Come up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots, and let the mighty men come forth. The Ethiopians, that's mercenaries, and the Libyans, those that practice that religion, that handle the shield, and the Lydians that handle and bend the bow. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiated with, and may drink with their blood, for the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. You worried about what's going to happen at the river Euphrates? Well, we got Iran on one side. Don't worry about it. God's well aware. And he has sword. And we're coming into that term that you got to pay attention. You got to look at the great sign. And no one understands. It's knocking on the door. We're coming down to that day. What day? The day of God's vengeance. But you must do what you got to do before then. And that's stand. With all, you must stand. You must watch. You must hold that line. And we continue on then. Revelation 12, let's pick it up with verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Does the woman have to worry about that? I just took you to Luke chapter 10, verse 18. We got power over him. He better not come persecuting us or we will singe his feathers. Okay? If many of you go back to old chicken killing days, you'll know what that means. Okay? And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and a times and a half time from the face of the serpent. We know this from the face of who? Serpent. All the way back to the garden. Called serpent there. Okay. Dracus, dragon. Same old boy. Okay. Under whatever flag you want to fly. But how many of you have read the 15th chapter of this great book and you referred to a great song of that child that his tear changed the whole nation? Deuteronomy 32. We have an eagle's wing that does protect us. It's called the Song of Moses. It's a song that gives us the victory. But we find in the ninth book, you know what it says? It says, their spot is not our spot. They're different than we are. They follow a different God than we do. Don't get sucked in by them. But verse 9, for the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance, the father of the 12, which the zodiac symbolized. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness, and he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. God protected him as you would the pupil of your eye. Okay, that means God's paying attention. So what are you worried about? You don't have to. And verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth about abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. God is carrying you. When you do all that you can, the harder you work, the more God will use you. And when you're in a place where you can't cut it anymore, he'll cut it for you, okay? You can count on it. That's the way he operates. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. That's the difference, friend. Beware of strange gods. You don't need them. You've got a Father, and he loves you. He has given you the great sign. Read it. Cherish it. He made him ride on the high places of the earth and that he might eat of the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of a flinty rock. God always provides for his own. Returning to the 12th chapter, let's complete this great sign. And the serpent, 15, cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away in the flood. You just read that in Jeremiah. That flood. The flood of false teachings. Flood of false religions. Satan's going to use every trick. But it's mainly a flood of lies. see that it doesn't affect you. 16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. God's going to take care of us. You don't have to worry. That's his surety. That's his guarantee. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that it's faced in one place that the dragon stood before the woman. Another bad translation. He's standing before the woman. Standing. Still yet standing. Wants to catch you off guard. Watching. Observing. Not saying that to put fear in your heart, but to teach you to be careful. Because you're smarter than he is. Why God allowed it? You know the word. The great sign. What a beautiful thing it is. And there you got it. There is nothing that should be watched more than translators that translate God's word and try to change meanings. It's just not good at all. Okay. But God gives us through the Holy Spirit a gift of being able to discern. And that discernment is what will serve the shepherds.